Now we're holding on Lamed Aleph, the seventh line by the two dots. The Mishnah said, "Hoyeshochet behitiz v'chola." We described that if he chops off the head completely, then it would be possible. That's passing tirasa. But we said that if he did a motion only in one direction and cut off the head of the animal, or at least cut through the simonim, then it is a kosher shechita, provided that the knife is long enough. What we said, the expression in the Mishnah was, "In yesh besakin meloit tzavar kshere." If the knife is the width of the neck, then it's kosher. So Amar Rav Zera, meloit tzavar v'chutz l'tzavar. What that actually means is it has to be the full width of the neck of the animal or the bird plus an extra neck's width. That length, that extra length, makes it possible to actually do to do the knife only in one direction and still do a proper shechita without doing any drasa. Tosfos points out that on the face of it, it would mean that you actually have to be using that entire length. Otherwise, what's the point of it? But then Tosfos says that no, it could be that you could get by with less than that, but because sometimes the knife may be so sharp that you might actually be able to shech through most of the simonim without even going. In other words, the idea is when you have the extra length beyond the neck, then that guarantees that you'll be able to cut the simonim without having to press, without having to do drasa. But so Tosfos points out, it may not even be necessary to use that full length. It just means that way you have that extra leeway. But depending on the sharpness of the knife, you might actually be able to get, or you might actually be, it might actually end up that you're able to do it with less than that. Although, as we talked about yesterday, the Alter Rebbe does make the point that only if b'dieved you ended up shechting with that in a single motion, then it would be kosher. But l'chatchila, you shouldn't plan to shech that way. Okay. So the Gemara says, well, we have the question, meloit tzavar, chutz l'tzavar, do we mean, when Reb Zeira says, meloit tzavar, v'chutz l'tzavar. So Reb Zeira says there has to be the full width of the neck, plus something outside the neck. So now we have the question, what does Reb Zeira mean? Meloit tzavar, v'chutz l'tzavar, kim meloit tzavar. Does it mean that there has to be the full width of the neck, plus another neck width beyond that, to have a lot of tzrei tzavori, which would be, in other words, two neck widths together. So if the neck is, like we said yesterday, let's say the neck is 20 inches wide, then it would mean, according to that, that you have to have for it to be a kosher shechita, with having done the motion only in one direction, it would have to be that the knife has to be at least 40 inches long. Or maybe it only means it needs to be the full width of the neck plus a little bit. It doesn't necessarily have to be a whole another 20 inches. In our scenario, it would be enough for it to be a little bit extra. So what does Reb Zeira mean? Toshma, the Gemara says, well, we can prove from the next case in the Mishnah, if he was shechting two animals neck to neck, the hitis shnei roshin rasachas, and he cut through both heads together, im yesh basak, and meloit tzavar echad kosher, so if the knife is wide enough for one neck, then it's kosher. Now, my meloit tzavar echad, now what would it mean, one neck width of an ear? Ilem meloit tzavar echad getuloi. Would it mean exactly only one neck width and no more than that? Impossible. You're telling me even with one animal, it's not enough for the knife to do a unidirectional shechita for it to be good if the knife is only the width of the neck. No matter how we understand what Reb Zeira is saying, he's still saying that you have to have something beyond the neck. So how is it possible that with two animals it might conceivably mean the width of only one neck? That wouldn't be, and it can't be also. Marshall points out, Madur Basra, it can't mean that it means one neck and a little bit. Because again, if one animal alone, you need one neck and at least a little bit. That certainly is not going to work for two animals. El pshita meloit tzavar chutz l'shnei tzavarim. So obviously, it must mean one full neck width beyond the two necks. So in other words, in that case, it would have to be three necks width. Shmamina, meloit tzavar, chutz l'tzavar, therefore we see that with one animal also, it has to be one neck width beyond the neck. So therefore, two neck widths. Shmamina, okay, that proves it. So the general rule is going to be, however many necks you're shechting at a time, you have to have, if you're going to do it only a motion in one direction and not in both directions, you're going to have the knife be the full width of those necks plus an extra neck, and that gives you enough leeway that now it's possible to do that. Now it's possible to do the shritta and not do a drossa in the course of it. Okay. I mean, we talk about cutting through the head. There is actually a focus we're showing him about. Are we talking about that? If you just cut the simonim, then maybe it doesn't have to be that wide, because after all, the simonim, you might be able to cut much more easily, and you don't go that deep in the neck to cut the simonim, and they're soft, and you can get through it with less than that. So that Ramban holds that, in fact, this din that we're saying of needing the extra neck width would only be if you actually cut through the whole head. The whole neck. On the other hand, the Rashba and the Ran say that no, it means that even then, when you're only shechting the simonim, you still need that extra neck width to have that leeway to make sure that you're doing it without derasa. Okay. The Mishnah continues. The Mishnah had said that this is only if you did the motion only in one, only the shvita only in one direction. But the Mishnah had said, if you do it back and forth as a normal shritta is done, then you can do it even with a small knife. The Mishnah had said, even with an izmel, which is like a small scalpel that's used for cutting or for surgery or whatever. However, Amar Rav Nasha, the izmel she'en lo kanayim, that would work only if the izmel, only if this little knife does not have horns. The horns Rashi describes are they would often make decorative bulges on the on an Ismail, or not really bulges, but decorative, like things that stick out towards the head end of the knife. So now the Ismail is very small. So therefore, so you're going back and forth. You might accidentally slip and not cut through the simonim, and then while you're cutting through the simonim, one of those protrusions will stick into the simonim, and therefore you're gonna have halad. Different views, stories, and different explanations, Shittim Chubetzes and others, what exactly the problem is. But in other words, the problem is you're not going to have a proper shitta with the blade of the knife. You're going to have these karnayim, these horn-like protrusions are going to get involved, and then you're going to do chalada with them, you're going to pierce the simonim with them, whatever it is. However, Omalei Rav Acha Beidu Rav Ivya Rav Menashe, Machtamai, so now the Gemara brings in this connection. Now that Rav Menashe had said that the Ismail, this scalpel of our Mishnah, has to be one that does not have karnayim, that does not have these horn-like protrusions, so now Rav Acha Brevi Rav Yehuda asked Rav Menashe, Machtamai, what about if you use a needle? Amalei Machta Mivzabaza. He says, no, a needle is sure not going to work, it's just going to pierce. It's not going to actually cut through proper with a proper Halacha Vahava. Okay, Rav Acha Brei Rav Ivya asked to mach the ushtefimai. What about a needle used by leather workers? Now, a regular needle you have the only pointy part of it is the point. A leather worker's needle, the side is a little bit thicker and the side of it is sharpened as well because they use that to cut the stitches. So, Mai, what would be the din? Can you use that? In other words, would we say once you can't use a needle, then you can't use any kind of needle, even that one? Or is there in fact a difference because this one has the side sharpened as well? That's a point of Rashi. According to the Ran, this kind of needle that he's asking about is it doesn't have a sort of sharp tip as a regular needle. Its tip is a little wider. So the question would be, is that enough to be able to do halacha v'hava? Amalei Tanena, said Menashe, says, well, we said in the Mishnah, Afilu Kol Shehu, that the knife is kosher even if it's Kol Shehu, even if it's a little bit. My lav machta de ushkafi. Shouldn't that mean that it means that it's good even if you use this oil used by leather workers? So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. And in that case, that would be its kosher. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Ismail, it may mean the Mishnah may be coming to include that you can use a scalpel. Well, the question is, Ismail the Hedya Katani law? What do you mean? The Mishnah actually said that it's kosher. So if the Mishnah is then saying kol shehu, that anything, and then it says even the Ismail, then it means the kol shehu is referring to something else. And the answer is not necessarily poroshi kama farnish. It may be just explaining. My kol shehu, Ismail. When we say kol shehu, we mean even something as small as a scalpel. Now, to be sure, of course, you'd want to make sure you don't use the one with karnayim. That would be why the Mishnah first puts kol shehu and then mentions an Ismail. So, in other words, you can use an ismo in terms of its length, but not when it has kanai. And the Gemara says this is how the Shetuvah Kubratis explains. And in fact, the Gemara says, Hakim Amim Misabra. It's very logical to understand the Mishnah that way. If the word kosher is actually coming to include this leather worker's oil, so then you'd have to ask, if you're telling me that even a needle, even a leather worker's needle is kosher, is mumabaya, needless to say that a scalpel would be kosher, so there wouldn't be a need to mention it. And therefore that shows that the kolshehu is in fact referring to a scalpel, and it's explaining you can use kolshehu, namely what kind of thing is kolshehu, you can use a scalpel and is. However, the Gemara says not necessarily, because isno it's dirchale. No, you could actually answer on the contrary that the Mishnah does need to tell us the chiddush of using a scalpel. You would think, given that we just said these ismail, the ismail, sometimes it's a regular knife, just small. Sometimes it has these karnayim protrusions, which we said before there's concern of chalada or piercing the simonim or whatever and not doing a proper shvita. So you would think maybe they should make a zera that you can't use one kind, because you might come to use the other kind, which is possible. Kamash Malan, and therefore the Mishnah would be telling us that not. So not necessarily, then, is the Mishnah, in fact, telling us only about an Ismail. It may actually be talking about, first a leather worker's needle, and saying you can use that, and saying, and also you can even use an Ismail, provided that it doesn't have Karnayim, because if it has, but we're not going to make a Zera, that you can't use that, because you might end up using one with Karnayim. So the Gemara hasn't really come to a conclusion, but the Rambam at least brings that you could use, no matter how small it is, after all, the Mishnah had said kol shehu, provided that it's going to cut and not tear. So, for example, an actual needle would be a problem, because then the point of it just tears the simonim or pierces them or whatever and doesn't cut them, you know, doesn't cut them properly, you know, in a back-and-forth motion. So you have to have if you're shechting, let's say, for example, a very tiny bird, then you could indeed use a very tiny knife, or as the Ran had understood these in the Smachta of the Ushkafi, to be one that has a slightly wider end, and then you could in fact use that. Okay. Mishnah says, Nuflus Sakin Vishachta. Suppose that a knife fell on its own. So you had a knife, or you had a shchita knife on a shelf, and it fell off the shelf, let's say, and it fell off the shelf for shachta, and it shechted. Even if it did, a proper shchita, everything you check afterwards, like we said yesterday with Rabbi Yonah about the flipper's arrows, we find the feathers are actually cut through, so we know there was no drossa. There was obviously no shahiyah, because it was a sudden thing. We check there's no evidence of the other psulim as well. Psulim, nevertheless, that shchita is possible. Shenema, because the pasuk is v'zavachta, you should shecht v'achalta, and you should eat. So only what you shecht you can eat. But like this, if you didn't do the shechita, there was no koyach adam, there was no human koyach involved, then therefore it's no good. We talked about actually earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara had mentioned, for example, that imagine, let's say you have a water wheel turning with a knife attached to the wheel. So then we said that, if you open up the faucet to let the water run, and therefore the wheel will start turning, so the first little bit would be a valid shechita, because there you have koyach adam, but after that not. So this is in a similar vein. Well, the Gemara says, time is enough, law. Well, we see in the Mishnah that only because the knife fell on its own without anybody being involved is why the shechita is possible. The implication seems to be that if the person himself knocked down the knife and it shechted, shechter, then it would be a kosher shechita v'afagam b'lem mekavim, even though he doesn't actually have kavana to shecht with the knocking down the knife. So he knocked down the knife for whatever reason. He didn't know that there was an animal or a bird over there, and then he finds afterwards it did do a proper shechita. It sounds like that would be a proper shechita because there is koyach adam involved. Man tana d'lo b'inin kavana l'shechita. Well, which tana is it that says that does not require kavana for shchita? Now, shchita of kodshim is different, but here we're talking about shchita of cholim. So where do we hear who says that? Amar Rava Rav Nosson. So Rava says that would be according to Rav Nosson, the Tani Oshia Zeira de Min Chavraya. Oshia Zeira from the Bnei HaYeshiva taught, So Rashi gives two explanations of how we parse this phrase. Oishia ze'ira de min chavraya. The first one is that ze'ira de min chavraya is a complete phrase by itself, and it means the least one, the youngest or the least choshev or whatever of the chavraya of the chaverim in the yeshiva. The second explanation, which Rashi prefers, is that his actual name was Oshia Ze'ira, Oshia the Little, and he was min chavraya. He was one of the bnei hayeshiva. The Bnei HaYeshiva are called Chavraya, from the same Shodesh as Chavarim. The Rambam points out that the only true friendship, as we know from Pirkei Avos, you have a friendship that depends on something external, that it's not long-lasting, but the friendship of Tamil Chachamim is based on Torah, and therefore it's true and long-lasting, and therefore Chachamim are called Chavarim. We had yesterday also, actually, we had Nizrika, Mipi Chavura, that it was thrown out from the mouth of the Chavura, meaning that the whole Chavura, the whole brotherhood of Chachamim in the Beis Medrash, said the same thing together. So here we have the same kind of thing. Anyway, so Oshi is the era of the min chavraya. However we parse that phrase says, he taught in a brisa. Zorak sak in the noyatz of a kosel. Suppose, for example, a person throws a knife to stick it into the wall. V'holch of a shochta kedarka, and on the way it shechted on and it shechted on the way and actually accomplished a proper shechita. Rav Nosson machshir v'cham poslin. Rav Nosson would say it's kosher because even though there was no kavana, because you threw the knife. The Chum say it would be possible because according to them you do require Kavanah. Well, very well then, when our Mishnah implies that the only reason the Shechita is possible is because the knife fell on its own, but if you actually knocked it down or threw it or whatever, it would be kosher, that would be according to Rav Nosson. And the Gemara continues, Hu Toni Lavahu Amala, this Oshia Ze'ira de Min Chavraya taught the Braisa, and he also clarified what's the actual halacha, Rav Nosson. The halacha is like Rav Nosson in that you don't require kavana for shlita, you just need koyach adam, you just need human power to be involved. By the way, you're going to think it seems very unlikely that you're going to throw a knife and there happens to be something in the way to shecht. Lahavdil, for example, years back there was a baseball game where the pitcher threw a pitch and hit a bird that was flying by right there. So Lahavdil, if you could do that, I suppose you could do the same thing with a shechita knife. Okay. So the Gemara continues, Va'omer Rava Choda Zimna. Now, why do we need Rava to be telling, why does Rava need to be medayim from our Mishnah, that if he peel a kshera and tell us that our Mishnah is a Sam Mishnah like Rav Nosson, didn't Rava already tell us a different time that this kind of thing, that you don't require kavana for shlisha, is according to Rav Nosson. So why does Rava need to repeat it again in connection with our Mishnah? We learn at the first Mishnah of our Masechta, we said that everybody can shecht and the shechita is kosher except for cheresh shochev akotin, and the Mishnah had continued, v'cholim sheshochtu v'acherim roinos, and all of these, the cheresh shochev akotin, if they shechted and others, adult Jews who are normal, are watching them, shechitas and kshirim, then the shechita is kosher. Now, the question is, though, the cheresh shochev akotin can't have shechita of their own. So man tana d'leboi kavana v'shchita. Which tana is it that said that you don't require kavana for shchita? But Amar Rava Rav Nosson. And again, Rava had said that's according to Rav Nosson. So we already know that Rava is saying that Rav Nosson holds that you don't need kavana for shchita. Why does it need to repeat it over here? Now, Tosis points out that the fact is, our Mishnah does not explicitly say anything about knocking down a knife versus it fell down by itself. So the question is not so much why the Mishnah had to repeat itself. The question is on Rava why he has to repeat himself that both of these Mishnayos are, this is actually Rashi says this. Tosfos points out that actually, look, you know what, even if the fact is, when the you can't ask on the Mishnah anyhow that's repeating itself, because we only have the implication of the earlier Mishnah where it says that if a cheresh shochev akotin shechts with somebody else watching, then you don't need kavana. So therefore, the question is not really on the Mishnah, because not like this din was said beferush in either place. The question would be on Rava, why he says in both places that it's like Rav Nosson. And the answer is tzricha. Rava had to tell us in both places. Diyashmin and Hossam, if he only told us over there in the case of the cheresh shochev akotin, you would say become a kavan l'shum chaticha ba'olam, because after all, at least the cheresh shochev akotin does have kavana for some kind of cutting. So it's shchita, but at least he has an intention to cut. And for that matter, Tosfos says, when you're talking about the case where he threw a knife to stick it into the wall, also he wants to cut into the wall. So therefore, you would say that that's good enough for it to be considered enough kavana for it to be a kosher shchita. But over here he's not being mechaven at all because he just knocked down the knife without any intention to cut anything. Ema loy, maybe even Rav Nosson would say that not, it's not a valid shita. And on the other hand, if it only told us over here, if Rav only told us over here that Rav Nosson says it's kosher when he knocked down the knife, you would say Mishum de Kossi Mekoyef Ben Das. The fact is, it comes from the power world of Ben Das, the Ben Das who knocked the knife off the shelf. But over there, there's a cheder shoyt of a cotton. There's no ben das whose koyach is involved in the shchita. Emaloy, you would think that not. And therefore, Rav has to tell us in both cases that Rav Nosson is the author of the Mishnah. Rashi also adds that in our Mishnah over here, if Rava hadn't told us that Rav Nosson holds that it's kosher without any kind of kavana, we wouldn't have even made the diuk from our Mishnah to begin with. We wouldn't have said, well, if our Mishnah says if it fell down, it's kosher, therefore we can infer if he knocked it down, it's kosher. We wouldn't have thought to make that diuk, and we would have said that it's possible either way. And the chiddush would be that you require shchita mikoyach adam. So therefore, Rava says is it not just because, after all, in that case, the Mishnah could indeed have said that it would be possible if he knocked down a knife or threw a knife or whatever, and the fact that it doesn't means that in fact such a case is kosher. So the bottom line is, we're saying, according to Rav Nosson, and before, Oshi is the Ir, Dimin Chavraya, had said the halacha, like Rav Nosson, you don't need any kind of kavana for shchita, all you need is koyach adam, that a human being was involved in causing that knife to move. And again, you have that case earlier in the first paragraph about a water wheel, same idea. In other words, if the water wheel is turning on its own because of the current of water, that won't work. It's not a valid shchita, but when you have the first turn of it, or the first little bit of it, when you opened up the water and let it flow and start the wheel turning, then that would be a kosher shchita, because then you have koyach adam. Having talked about that, now the Gemara is going to bring a similar kind of case where you have something with or without kavana. So they have a discussion in the Beis Medrash. Nidah she nemsa b'tovla. Suppose that a nidah, it's time for her to tovel. But let's say, for example, she tovled ba'oynas. She did what the oynas was exactly. We're going to talk on Amud Beis. But she didn't have any kavana to tovel. Is that a valid tevila? Is that a valid tevila to make her no longer nidah? Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Tahor de Levesa, she is Tahor for her household, meaning that she's now Tahor to have relations with her husband. Vasura lachol b'truma, however, she's also to eat truma because she needs to have kavana for that. Tosfos points out, it's not only truma, she's not even allowed Maisa Sheni. As the Gemara is going to point out soon. But the reason why we're mentioning truma is because Maisa Sheni is not really noyig nowadays, in the sense that we can't eat Maisa Sheni when there's no Beis HaMikdash, and because you have to eat it in Yerushalayim in the presence of the Beis HaMikdash, and you have to destroy the money that you're poured it with, or the fruit that you're poured it with, because you can't take that to Yerushalayim either. So Maisa Sheni. So in other words, even though usually Maisa Sheni is less. Maisa Sheni have less strict rules than Truma. Anybody can eat Maisa Sheni, only a Kohen can eat Truma. Both of them you do have to tovel for in order to be able to eat it, because the Chachamim are concerned that you might forget that you might not realize that you were Tomei or something, you may have had some kind of Truma and not remember, and therefore you need to tovel, and each time you have to have Kavana. But here, Tosfos says, we're mentioning Truma, because Truma applies even, you can eat, the Kohenim can eat Truma in principle, even nowadays. In practice, I don't think anybody does nowadays, but Maharav Ranshburg on the side points out, in the times of Amoraim, they still had Paraduma ashes, and they were able to make themselves Tahor. So Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, she is Tahor for her husband, but she's also to eat Truma, or in the times of the Beis Mekdash, Maisa Sheni, until she actually toils with proper intention. Rav Yechon said, no, Afa Beisa Leitara, no, in a case like that, where it was without any das, then she wouldn't even be Tahor for her husband, she would actually be still also to have relations with her husband, until she toils with Kavana. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Rova the Rav Nachman, the Rav the Amet Tahor the Base of Asur Lachal the Truma." How does it work according to Rav? And on the one hand, you're telling us she's Tahor to have relations with her husband, which means that the Isur Kodesh of Nida has been taken away, but she's still also to eat Truma because, in other words, you still have that the Misa B'Dei Shemayim. How is that? What's the logic? Says Rava. Avon Kodesh Chutra If even the Aveda of Kores has been removed, then how much more so the Issur of Nisa, which needless to say, it should be removed. How can we say that she's only Tahar for her husband and still Tomei to eat Truma? In other words, as far as Truma is concerned, she's still considered Tomei. And then read Nisa Midei Shemayim, Kores is more stringent than Nisa Midei Shemayim. Kores means among other things, it can be a younger or older death. There's different opinions of what age is Kores and what age is Nisa Midei Shemayim. And anyway, the Alter Rebbe points out in the Geirus HaTshuva that in later times, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, people who are chayav Kores don't necessarily die physically young, but in any case, Kores is the neshama is cut off. Kores, a number of mafoshim explained based on different psukim that Kores means also the person's children die in his lifetime, etc. Nisa b'dei shamayim is none of that. So Rava says, how do you have it possible that the issue of Kores has been taken away, but the issue of Nisa b'dei shamayim still exists? Omales, Rav Nachman says, the difference is Baila Hulin, who after all to have relations with her husband is a matter of Hulin. The Hulin, like Bori Kavana, it's a toivel in order to eat Hulin, or in this case to do something Hulin. Yeah, this is what Rashi points out, that Kores is stronger than Nisa in the sense that its children also are cut off. So his children die young. So Rav Nachman answers, the difference is to have relations with her husband as a matter of chulin. The chulin, like Bori Kavana, and the chulin, to do yutovel, you're allowed to eat chulin, even you're allowed to eat chulin without a problem. And in this case, then, she's allowed to have relations with her husband without a problem. But truma requires kavana. And continues Rav Nachman, or the Gemara continues explaining Rav Nachman, or Menot Temra, where do you see that there's a difference like that? That for Tchulin, you don't require Kavana, and for anything beyond, and for anything beyond that, for Meiser or Truma or whatever you would. So just now we learn in the Mishnah in Mikvos, Galshin Mitlash, if a wave is pulled loose from the ocean or from the sea. See, in other words, a very strong wind or whatever, and you have literally a chunk of water, a 40 saw of water, was lifted out and is flying through the air. The Yeshbara Boim saw, and there is 40 saw in the and there is 40 saw in the wave. To be exact, actually, the question is whether seas and lakes and things like that are considered like a mayan, or considered like a fountain, like a spring, where they can be metahar even when the water is moving, or are they considered like a mikveh where the water has to be standing still in one place. So we could be talking about that it's still partially attached to the water. We could be talking about that it's completely detached, and that there's all kinds of discussions about that. Whether in fact it would work within an opinion of Rav Yossi, who says that seas can tovel, and even if the water is moving, Rav Meir meanwhile holds that any such bodies of water are matahar only when the water is in one place. So according to him, a wave wouldn't work to tovel if it's moving. Either I'll be showing him or explain that could work even according to the mayor. In any case, the point is that you have this 40 saw huge mass of water that was detached or that was detached from the sea, or maybe partially attached according to some ocean. The Nahal Adamala Kalim, it fell on a person on Kalim that were on the shore. For Herdin, then they become Tahar from this 40 saw of water falling on them. My love, Odom Dumi the Kalim. Now, when we're mentioning the person, on the face of it, it means that he's in the same situation as the Kalim. Ma Kalim Dulim Chavni, the Kalim are not having Kavana to become Tahar, because they're not. They're Kalim, they're inanimate objects. Af Odom Nami Le Bori Kavana, on the face of it, then that means the person does not require Kavana. He happened to be on the beach, and the water fell on, the wave fell on him, and nevertheless he becomes Tahar. So the Gemara says Mimai, but who says that's what it means? So then that would show, so therefore that would be a proof for what Rav Nachman is saying, that when it comes to toivling, for chulin purposes, you don't require kavana. But the Gemara says Mimai, who says that that's, how do you know, from where do you know that that's the case the Mishnah is talking about? Duma be Yoshua Mitzapa Askin and Amos Ayutola Shagal. Maybe in fact we are talking about where the person is sitting over there on the beach and waiting. He knows it's stormy weather and soon a large wave is going to come and cover him. The Kalim, Jumia Da'odim, and on the contrary, then with the Kalim, it would be, it has to be in a way similar to a person, that somebody put them there, but Kavana, that they should get toiled. Ma Odom, just we would say the other way around. Ma Odom the Bein Kavana, Akelim Nami to come a Kavan Lo Odom. So then we would say that means that the person we're saying has Kavana, and the Kelim also would have to be that somebody put them there with Kavana to become Tahar. But maybe on the contrary, maybe the Mishnah is saying that if you just happened to be there and the wave fell, then in fact you would not become Tahar. So then that would go against what Reb Nachman is saying, that you don't need Kavana for Cholin. And then we're back to Rava's question, how could it be that this Nida, that this woman is now Tahar for her husband and no longer Nida as far as that, but still Nida as far as Truma is concerned. So you're going to say, well, if the person is sitting there and waiting for the wave to come, then what's the chiddush? Of course he should become tar. And you might say, because you might think that maybe you shouldn't allow him to become tar with this wave because of gzera, you might confuse it with a case of a stream of water flowing down from a mountain. Now, the stream of water is flowing down a diagonal surface, and that kind of thing is called in halacha kataphras. It comes from a Greek word that means falling down, basically. A kataphras is not considered a connection. Now, what it is, in other words, if you have 40 sun in one place, then good. But when you have this chaudalus, you have this stream meandering down the mountain, or a waterfall coming down the mountain, or whatever, it's not going to be considered connected. You don't have 40 saw in one place. The fact that it's flowing downward on a kataphras surface, on a sloped surface, is not enough to consider that all the water is connected together. Rashi brings a different girsa, that the girsa is not, that the word is not chaudalus. First, Rashi says, okay, chaudalus just means, in other words, something like that, like a flow of water that's flowing down a hillside. Then Rashi brings from Rabbi Goin that the word is actually chaudalus. And it's a compound of two words, har meaning a mountain, dolus meaning high up. So it's something that, so it's a stream that's flowing down from high up on the mountain. Anyway, so you would think, now such a thing is not matar, again, because when it comes to make shomim, you have to have 40 saw in one place. And the fact that it's all connected together, but it's connected on a kataphras, that doesn't work. So therefore, so you would think that you should have to make a zera on this wave, because in that case, it's similar in a way, it's similar to a kataphras. You might think that they're the same kind of thing. So therefore you would say the chiddush is, even when he's sitting and waiting over there, nevertheless, you would think there's a reason to say that it doesn't work, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us that you do. But maybe, in other words, the Mishnah is not necessarily addressing at all the case where he just happened to be covered by the wave. Maybe in fact in that case it wouldn't work because you do in fact need kavanah. So Tosfos teaches out the Mar's argument a little bit. If you say that it's not talking about where he's sitting there, you're just talking about that he's sitting there stam, then we understand. The Mishnah wants to tell us that Chulin don't require Kavanah. But if you're going to tell me Yoshev Matzapra, then you should argue, what's the Chiddush? It can't be that you need Kavanah, because the Mishnah does not imply that you're Yoshev Matzapra. It just says V'nofal, that it fell on him. So therefore the answer would be because you might think to make Xera, because you might confuse it with a Chaudalus, and the answer is we're not worried about that. Then Tosfos gives another explanation as well, that the way the Mishnah phrases it implies that it's trying to teach us kula, and if it's only that Yoshev Mitzapa, then there's no kula in that. But if we're saying the kula is that we're not concerned that you may confuse it with a chardolus, then fine. Okay. So the Gemara says, inami, another possibility. We would think, why it shouldn't be good if he gets covered by the wave, even if he was sitting there deliberately, ligza roshin otu kippin, you might think to make a gzera that he shouldn't, that if the ends of the wave, which are touching the ground, are 40 saw, but nevertheless, you might confuse it with the case where you're toiveling in the crest of the wave. In other words, the tefillah has to be that the water is on the ground. But if, let's say, for example, you have this wave detached from the ground, and for a fraction of a second over there, you have the ends of it are touching the ground, and the middle is still in the air, if you were to, at that point, at that moment, throw a kavi through that arch of it, for example, then it wouldn't be tahor. So you would think that maybe you should make a zera, one part of the wave might be confused with the other part of the wave, kamash malon belegazrinin, and therefore, again, we're telling us that you're not making that zera. So either way, then the Mishnah would be telling us a big chiddush, even if you say Yoshev Mitzapa, even if you say that he's sitting there and deliberately waiting for it. There's no proof, therefore, that the Mishnah is talking about where he happened to be covered by the wave. It may actually be talking about where he's deliberately setting out to be covered by the wave, and nevertheless, though, there are reasons we would have thought to be gozer, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us that you don't have to worry about it. So the Gemara goes on. Well, how do we know? This last point that we said that with a wave, you can toivel only on the parts that are on the ground, not the parts that are in the air. And the answer is it's not. We actually learn in a Mishnah. The Tanya, it says on the side, it's really a Braisa. Tosfos points out that actually if it was a Mishnah, then the Mishnah wouldn't really, Tosfos does have the Girsa Ditznan, but then they wonder in that case, then why does the Mishnah have to tell us again? So Tosfos says maybe the Zohar Isa versus the Rabbanon. Anyway, so the Mishnah or the Braisa, whatever it says, Machbilin Bedoshin, Vein Machbilin Bekibin. You can only tovel in the ends of the wave, the ones that are actually on the ground, Vein Machbilin Bekibin, but you cannot tovel in the middle of it, which is still up in the air, Shein Machbilin Be'ava, because you cannot tovel in things that are in the air. The water has to be on the ground or in the ground. In other words, the idea is that the Torah says, the Beis Yosef explains, because the pasuk, where do we know the concept of a mikveh? The Torah says, mikveh, mayim, or bur, a collection of water, or a pit, implying not something that's in the air. So the bottom line is, we don't have a proof from that chulin, that tovelin for chulin does not require kavana, because maybe, in fact, in that case, we are, in fact, talking about where the person is sitting there and having kavana, that the wave should fall on him, and it does, and then he becomes tahor, or the kelim that he put there becomes tahor, but provided that he becomes tahor with the ends, meaning that the ends of the wave themselves contain 40 saw, and that we say, and then we're saying that the chiddush is that we're not making zavis, etc. Okay. Nevertheless, though, Rav Nachman had said on Amud Aleph that you don't require kavana to toivel for cholin, and when we said that, therefore, this woman toiveled without kavana. Rav Yehuda had said in the name of Rav, she is mutter to her husband, she's also to Yitzhrama, and Rava had asked Rav Nachman why that is. So the fact is, according to that opinion, you don't require kavana for chulin. According to Rav Nachman's explanation of that din, you don't require kavana for chulin. So after all, where do we know that from? And the answer is that tonight we have a different Mishnah. Peres shenochru l'sech amas amayim, if fruit that had not yet been mukshel l'kabel tuma fell into a water channel, and somebody with tummy hands stuck out his hands and picked them up out of the water. His hands are tummy, meaning Dirabanan, because it's either a person is all tummy or nothing, but Midirabanan is a concept of Tumas Yadayim later on in the Sefta. We're going to get to the Dinim of Netovas Yadayim. We're going to talk about it in connection with that. Anyway. So, the Nachman, he picked up the Peiris out of the water, Yod of Tahoris, his hands will be Tahor, because in effect he toiveled them in a mikveh, or Peiris, Ein in Bechiyotam, however the Peiris will not be Mokshul the Kabal Tuma, because they're only Mokshul the Kabal Tuma, of course, only if they become wedded with one of the seven liquids, but as we've learned before, that only applies if they became wedded, Lurith Sinai, only that he wanted them to become wet. And here he didn't, because he didn't want them to become wet, he didn't want them to fall in the first place, and now he only wanted to pick them out. But continues the Mishnah. The imbishrosh yulchu. If when he picks up the peiros, he does have in mind to he does. So there, it's talking about he only stuck in his hands to take the fruit. So even though he didn't intend to toivel his hands, nevertheless they become tovel. But now he actually stuck in his hands, having in mind that his hands are going to be washed. He actually wants to wash his hands and make them tovel. Yod of tahoris, and of course his hands are tovel because now he intended to toivel them. But the Paris this time, Kiyutan, will apply, namely they are Mukshul, the Kabal Tuma, because once he intended to wash his hands there, and to cleanse his hands and make them Tahor, that shows that he appreciates the fact that the Paris fell in, because that way he has an opportunity to wash his hands and be Matahor then from Tuma. And Rashi points out, you have something, this is the kind of thing that's called Trilose, Shalo L'Rotzen, V'Sofa L'Rotzen. Originally, the Peiros fell in, he didn't want them to fall in. But now, Sofa L'Rotzen, now, before he takes them out of the water, he's thinking to himself, you know what, it is a good thing they fell in, it gives me an excuse to stick in my hands to be Metah them. So, a number of Achronim ask, wait a minute, you don't need an excuse to stick in your hands without, just sticking with your hands without Peiros being there. So a couple of Achronim, the Svasemes, the Shash, give an answer that it means that not so much that he wanted the fruit to fall there, but he wanted the water to get on his hands, and therefore that water was already able to be matched with the fruit when he lifts it out. Because that's the dig, when the water was removed from its place, that it's able to be matched of a kamal truma, and here, since he wanted his hands to get wet, then therefore, then because he wants to shovel them, then therefore it's matched of the pace. Now, the point is, in other words, we see that in the first case, he didn't intend to shovel his hands, nevertheless, his hands are tahor. So you see that for cholin, you don't require kavan. Okay? So the Gemara continues, Eisvei Rava L'Rav Nachman. However, Rava asks on Rav Nachman, still, you're telling me that toveling for cooling does not require kavana. But what about Eisvei Rava L'Rav Nachman? A Mishnah says in Chagigah, tovel l'cholin. If a person toveled having in mind to eat cholin, now ordinary cholin, you don't need to tovel at all. So we're talking about cholin shenas, or altaras truma, or altaras hakodesh. We're going to have in the next couple of days, we're going to be talking over here in the Gemara extensively about that whole matter of cholin that are prepared according to the standards of truma, or according to the standards of kodesh, and we're going to get into what degree of truma are those able to get. The usual rule is cholin can only get up to a degree of truma of sheni. Truma shlishi kodshim revi. When we have cholin shenasu altaras hakodesh or altaras truma, what degree of truma are they able to get? In any case, though, so here, but you have a person who eats cholin batara. He wants to make sure the cholin don't become tamei, and therefore he tovels v'chuchsak l'cholin, and he has a chazaka, meaning he has a kavana to make himself a chazaka that he'll be tovel v'cholin. Also the meiser, he's still also to eat meiser. Only if he has the tovel, having in mind that he's going to eat meiser sheni. Now, so Rava says chuchsak ein loy chuchsak loy. So it seems that only if he actually had in mind for cholin, then it works. But it sounds like if not, then he's not good for cholin either. So what are you telling me that cholin doesn't require that tevila for cholin doesn't require kavana when we see here that it does? So Rav Nachman answers, Hochi Kama, Afa Pisha Chuchsak L'Cholin. It means even though he was Chuchsak, even though he specifically had in mind for Cholin, so he actually had a Kavana, and it was good enough for Cholin, nevertheless also for Meiser, nevertheless he's still also for Meiser, because it's a Meiser Sheni is on a higher level, and therefore he has to have in mind at least the thing that he's going to do, or anything stronger. Now he could have in mind, for example, that he's going to eat Trumo, which is stronger than Meiser Sheni, and then that works for Meiser Sheni also, but he can't do for Cholin, which is less than Meiser Sheni. So that's Rav Nachman's answer. You have to understand the Mishnah to be saying not that. Also the Meiser. Nevertheless, even though he had a specific chazaka for cholin, he actually had a kavana. Nevertheless, that kavana doesn't work for Meiser. Okay. Eisvei, so then Rav asked him another question. We have the Mishnah continues, Tovavol Echofsa Kiel Leitovav. If he tovel but did not make a chazaka, did not have a kavana, it's as if he didn't tovel. My lab Kiel Leitovav Kla, doesn't that mean it's as if he didn't tovel at all? And he can't even eat chulin. Shanasu Altaras Chulin Batara. And the answer is no. Rav Nachman says that's not what it means. Kiel Leitovav Meiser, Aval Tovel Chulin. It means he didn't tovel as far as Meiser, but he did tovel at least insofar as chulin, and therefore he can eat chulin Batara now. So Rava thought that that can't really be the answer. Rav Nachman is just fobbing them off with a cheap answer, basically. Because how could it be? The Mishnah clearly says Tovel v'lechosa kiel leitovel. Nafak, but Rava left the base matter. Shadaki checked into it. Bashkach, and he found a brisa that actually says to Tanya Tovel v'lechosa mutter l'chulin. Also the meiser that if he tovel without making a chazaka, without having kavana, then he's mutter and chulin in b'tara, but also in meiser, which backs up what Rav Nachman says. toast the splints out. I mean, what about the case of the Mishnah about dipping in his hands? And fine, you could say there's a difference between toveling the whole body and toveling his hands, because after all, toveling his body should have more of a chumrah to it, you would think. Maybe he has to have kavanah, and therefore there'll be see from this braisa that Rava found, and in fact it's not so for chulin, you don't require kavanah. Okay, now that we established that, though, in that case, then, does this whole matter contradict Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan said, I'm going to aleph that if the nid is toivel without kavana, she's also even to her husband. It comes out from this whole discussion, like what Rabbi Nachman said, her husband is chulin, it's not a matter of mice or sheni or truma or whatever, and she should be indeed mutter to him, because for chulin you don't require kavana, as we just proved from the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan can't argue with the Mishnah, so that should slug him up and say that halacha is not like it. And Malay, so Rabbi Yosef says, that's not a question. Rabbi Yochanan, who the Omer, to Rabbi Yonis and Ben Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yonis and Ben Yosef, who does disagree with everything that he said, and said you do require kavana for all tevila, including for cholin as well. So fine, it's a machlokes is tanoim, Rabbi Yochanan is entitled to pick a side, but so is Rab, and therefore there's no contradiction on either of them from Mishnayos or Braisos. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa. The pasuk describes about clothing that has tzaras in it. We would say you lock it up for a week and then you check it and then you have the different cases if the tzaras spreads, if it goes away, etc. And then you have a couple of cases where the pasuk says where you have to wash the clothing. Rashi points out most of the times that it says washing over there, and the pasuk means actually washing it, so that afterwards you can see if the negas spread. You have one time at the end over there where it talks about the yasetovel. So now, Rabbi Yonis and Ben Yosef Omer, v'chibis matam leim ashen, v'chubas matam leim ashenis, the pasuk describes a case where the pasuk describes if you washed it the first time and the tzaras disappeared, then it says a second time, v'chubas shenis, which will be washed again, v'tahar, and then it will be tahar. So Rabbi Yonis and Yosef says, v'chubas matam adam shenis, if it already says v'chubas, it has to be washed, then why does it say shenis? Of course, if you washed it one time, and if then you wash it, then that'll be a second time. So makish tichbosis rishona v'tichbosis tishnia tichbosis rishona. By that, the Torah is giving us a hekesh between the second washing and the first washing. Matich bosis rishona l'das. The second one has to be with the knowledge of the kohen, because the pasuk actually says that tzivah akoyin v'chibsu, the kohen should command that they should launder the garment. Atich bosis shnia l'das. The same with the second one has to be with das. And since the second one, b'chobas shenis v'tar, refers to toiveling it to get rid of the tumah, then therefore that means it has to be also with das like the first one. Continues Rabbi Yonis and Ben Yosef, E malahalan ve'inan das koyin. Now, the first time it requires the das of the koyin specifically, for the tzivah koyin, afkan das koyin. You would think the second time also it requires the actual das of the koyin and not just anybody. No, talad lema, v'toher, therefore the pasuk continues, and it will be toher mikol mokom, regardless, as long as there was some das. So from the word shenis, we learn that there's a similarity to the first one, and it has to be the das. But from the word v'toher, we learn it doesn't dafka have to be by the das of a koyin, it can be the das of anybody. So again, the first time you wash it is actually before the kohen even checks it for tzaras. So it actually points out you wash it so that you can clearly see afterwards if the tzaras stays in place or gets bigger or smaller or whatever happens there. Then after you keep it closed up for a week, then you have a few possibilities, and one of them is that the tzaras disappeared, and at that point then is when you trifle it. So the point is, we see that according to Rabbi Yonison, then Yosef, you do require kavana for tevila, and therefore, according to him, that would apply to chulin as well. However, maskefar of Shimi Ba'ashi, but Rabbi Shimi Ba'ashi questions that. How could Rabbi Yochanan say that chulin requires kavana because Rabbi Yonison then Yosef holds so? Rabbi Yochanan says in a number of places in Shas that the halacha is like a stam mishnah, because when Rebbe put together the mishnayos, he made it that any opinion that he and his based in agreed with as a majority, then he put it as a stam mishnah. Utnan, and our Mishnah said, Nofla Sakim Veshachta Afisha Shachta Psula. We said that if a knife fell by itself and shechted, even though it shechted a proper shchita, it's still possible. V'havinon bo, and we discussed on Amar Aleph, time in the Nofla, only because it fell by itself, then it's possible. Ha'hi Pilo Hukshera, implying that if he knocked it down, then it would be kosher. V'achakav Le Mechabin, even though he didn't have kavana to shecht. V'aminon Mantan of Leiboy Kavana Meshchita, V'amar Rav Rav Nasani. We said, which Tana holds that you don't require kavana for shchita is Rav Nasan. So shchita doesn't require kavana. So when it comes to cholin, you don't require kavana. So now, in other words, you have the implication from that is that our Mishnah holds that any case in cholin does not require kavana for tovelin. Well then, and in for shchita or for tovelin. Well then, how can Rabbi Yochanan say that tevila does require kavana for cholin? And we're saying that that's on the strength of Rabbi Yonasan and Yosef's opinion, or some Mishnahs contradict that. The answer is no. Shchita for Rabbi Yonasan and Yosef. No, because by shchita, even Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef would agree that you don't require kavanah. So he would hold by tevila, you do need kavanah, but even for cholin, but by shchita he would agree that not. Why? Because the Torah specifically tells us that misasik, that if a person is, for example, playing around with a knife, or otherwise just cutting and not having in mind for shchita, with kodshim, that would be possible, because there the pasuk says, with son from tizbahu, you have to shecht with your roots and with your knowledge, with your will and your knowledge, that you're shechting a korban. So Mekal, the Cholin, Lebrin, and Kavana, therefore that implies that by Cholin you don't require Kavana. So even Rav Yonasan ben Yosef would hold that. And therefore, Rav Yonasan ben Yosef can be saying by Tevila, and Rav Yochanan follows following him, by Tevila you do require Kavana, therefore this Nidah that we talk about in Amud Aleph is still a Nidah, and also Torah husband, having Torah without Kavana, but Shchita is different, and our Mishnah, which is talking about Shchita, is not a contradiction to that. So the Gemara continues. Now the Chachamim are going to say it's true that Nihid the Lord Be'in Kavon Lazvicha. It is true the Chachamim are going to say you don't require. So how are the Chachamim going to say? The fact is the Chachamim who say that you do require kavana even by shchita of cholin, because we said only Rav Nosson disagrees. We said the halacha like Rav Nosson, but still we have to understand the opinion of the Chachamim. So the Rabbanan against Rav Nosson, I'm going to say, Nihid Leib Inin and Kavana Lazricha. It is true by cholin, you don't require a kavana for shechting, kavana, but lachatricha be'inin, but at least you have to have a kavana for cutting the simonim, or even maybe just for cutting meat. So therefore, you would learn by kodshim, you need more than that, you need actually a kavana for actual shchita. By full, and it would be enough that you have a kavana just to cut. Omar Rava, so Rava says, Bahozakanu, Rav Nosson, the Rabbanan, in this particular argument, Rav Nosson got the better of the Rabbanan. In other words, it's more logical to accept his opinion over that of the Chachamim. Because where are the Chachamim getting from that you have to have Koyach Adam and that has to be with a das, because the pasuk says v'zavachta. Well, miksiv b'chatzachta, the pasuk doesn't say you should cut v'zavachta, it says you should shat. So in kavana l'chaticha, if you're going to tell me that you need a kavana for cutting, then that wouldn't be enough, because the Torah didn't say v'chatzachta you should cut. After v'zvichanam in the boy, then you should require. You should require a kavana for shechting as well. The eloy be'in kavana lezvicha, and if you don't require a kavana even for shechting, lachatichanami loy libari, then you shouldn't require a kavana to cut either. So to say that you have to have a kavana for cutting, but not for shechita, is being inconsistent. So therefore, Rav Nosson, who's saying you don't need any kavana at all, or you need koyach adam, is being more consistent. To finish off, to round out that discussion about the nida, the Gemara says, "Heichidomi nida shenansa v'tovla." What is the scenario of a nida who was there was an oinus and she tovled? Ilemen de onsa chaver tova apala. Do we mean that a friend of hers forced her by pushing her by throwing her into the water? What's the problem? Anyway, kavana de chaver to kavana ma'amisihi. Well, her friend's kavana is a perfectly good kavana. You don't have to have kavana on part of the person who actually tovels. It's enough that somebody had kavana. The same way, after all, the Chassam Sofer points out, we said before about Kalim. You know, the Kalim themselves don't have Kavana, and nevertheless, you total them, and it's a valid Tevila. Why shouldn't it be the same thing over here? And furthermore, V'oid, another reason we can't say that that's the case, the Truma Nami Ochla. In fact, if it wasn't with her Kavana, as long as it was somebody else's, then she actually could eat Truma. It's not. We learn in a Mishnah in Nida. a deaf-mute woman, or a mentally deranged woman, a sharta, vasuma, or a blind woman who's not able to do, now all these women are not able to do a bedika of their own, vishenitra fadaita, or a woman who went crazy. So a sharta has particular symptoms that are described in the Gemara and Chagiga. Nitra fadaita would mean more generally that she has some kind of mental illness or temporary derangement or whatever. Whatever the case, such women are not going to be able to do a bedikah to know whether they became nidir or not, and when they're tahor. So the Mishnah says, im yesh lahem pikhos, if they have normal women, normally abled women who are able to help them out, then they can fix them up. When it's time for the vest, these other women can help by helping them do a bedikah and check whether there was dam yidya or not. But ochlos v'truma, and then they're going to be able to eat. And then they're going to be ochlos v'truma, and they'll be able to eat truma. So we see that you don't need the das, and the same thing would be as far as the toivling. So we see that you don't need the das or the person themselves who's toivling. So what's the case over here with this woman toivled boinus? The answer is amar papa lulav nothing. The answer is like this. According to Rav Nosson, that said you don't need kavana at all, would be shenofim and agesher. For example, she fell off a bridge into the water, so she had no intention, b'chal, of going into the water. Or the Rabbanan, according to the Chachamim, who say that you do need a certain degree of kavana, they say by shchita, you have to have at least a degree of kavana to cut. They would agree over here, you need a certain kavana. She yoda lahoke, she went into the water to cool off, not intending to tovel. And then she ended up completely in the water, and then, therefore, so a proper tevila was accomplished. So now, Rabbi Yochanan would say, there's no that tevila and shchita are not the same thing, and you need kavana for tevila, but you don't need kavana for shchita. And the Chachamim disagree. And the halacha is in fact like the Chachamim in against Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef. And in this machlokas, we're talking about whether if the woman toivel without kavana, whether she's tahor for her husband. The halacha is like Rav, not Rabbi Yochanan. So an interesting result of that is there are letters from the Rebbe and from Moshe Feinstein that talk about nowadays you have many balei tshuva whose mothers did not keep taras mishpacha before they were conceived. Now medrashim and gemaras tell us that people who are born from a nidah, b'nei nidah, tend to be mechutzafim. They tend to be they're not good people to marry, and yet taitoch. And you know, nowadays we have many such people who are very fine and able people, and it's good to make a shidduch with them. How does that work? So both the Rebbe and Rav Moshe talk about that you can have. Nowadays it's very common for women to swim in the ocean or in other places where there's a whole bunch of bedievites involved. Of course, they didn't do a proper bedikah beforehand, and they didn't make 100% sure that they're wearing a bathing suit and so on and so forth. There are a lot of bedievites involved, but there's enough of a likelihood that at least on the most bedievite way. On a Daraisa level, at least they accomplished a proper tevila. And again, the fact that they don't have kavana, as we see from our Gemara, doesn't matter. And therefore, they did in fact do a proper tevila, even if they didn't realize it before their children were conceived. And therefore, their children are perfectly kosher, and there's no flaw in them, and there's no flaw in them, b'nei nida, but rather they're perfectly kosher to aid the people and go ahead and make shidduchim with them and marry them and they're good to go.